All right, time to find out the latest in the news in the world of football. Channel 7's number one man, Mark Stevens, is charged into the studio. Charged. He's got plenty to talk to us about this morning.
Snow jacket on.
It's not exactly that cold.
No, it's not,
Steve.
Actually.
Steve, good morning.
Yeah, morning, guys. I'm just on the phone, Scotty, as we do.
Making calls.
Late calls,
absolutely.
Research.
That's why you're the best in the business.
I love your interviewing there, guys, with Taylor Adams. Interesting character, isn't he, in footy?
Oh, he's great.
He's a ripper.
He's honest.
Yeah. He just loves the football environment.
He does. He does. He's a very good club man. Loves the club environment, as you say. But
I think he'll be a coach.
I think he'll probably move into that realm.
Yeah,
I reckon he will.
Yeah, it'd be
he'd
development.
Give a good spray, I reckon.
Development coach.
I reckon, he's
got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Interesting. Actually, interesting point. There was somebody talking about this the other day, that whether players who come out of the playing ranks and go into coaching should go straight to a line coach as opposed to a development coach, because development coaching is a very important part of clubland these days. You've got to be able to know how to coach to develop properly rather than just be that rookie guy to come in, because that's where they
push it. The difference to our listeners. So they spend more time with the younger players kicking the ball to them.
Buying burgers for blokes, keeping them happy.
Do you know what I mean?
That's what they do.
Yeah, it's more that one-on-one sort of craft stuff, that one-on-one time, that as opposed to the group session with the main training sessions and the line coaches. The development coaches seem to do more that one-on-one stuff or smaller group stuff to teach the craft of play. And that's a really important role. Because your mate, Brendan McCartney, who has been one of the great development coaches in football, has got this amazing reputation and resume of developing players. And that's such a good, important role, because you can draft all the talent you like, but if you can't develop it, it's actually they're no good to you.
Well, and also the way you go about it with a young athlete who's developing and learning, what you're teaching them and talking to them session by session is very different to the ones at the top end who you're trying to take through a season.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a really important
role. So you would suggest, Daniel Sun, that they should do development before they do line?
Well,
It would be better for them. Is that where you're coming from?
No, I'm the other way. That perhaps
line first.
You get them to assist the line coach to learn the craft of coaching.
And they go straight to line. There's no assisting the line.
Well, they can help out. You can't just walk straight in unless you're pretty special.
A few do.
And some do. And there's always an outlier, Scotty,
like you,
on the graph.
Is there a bit of a stigma to the being a development coach, though?
Because
you talk
is.
To some former coaches, and I won't name all names, but he's just a development coach.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I think that's such a backward way
if
of looking at it.
You get a good one.
If that's your mindset as a coach, then I think you've got the whole thing wrong. That's my opinion.
Yep.
The development is such a big part of it. You get all these kids in, you spend so much time investing, trying to find the right players for your team. If you can't develop them correctly,
McCartney taught Bartell Johnson. He taught all them how to play the proper way.
Yeah.
And they all swear by it.
Well, Richardson was the same, a fantastic development coach. It's a really important role. I just think, I reckon you're right, Steve. I reckon there is a stigma that goes with it. You're the other guy that does the development stuff. There's a whole lot more to it than that, I reckon.
Matty Boyd's doing a great job down at Collingwood, too.
He is.
With that. He's very hands-on. You turn up down at the VFL, he's there doing long hours, Boydie.
I like the way you get the Bulldogs
very
in again.
Passionate, man.
Premiership player, former great.
But Jordan Dugowie, Dugowie's an interesting one at Collingwood. He won't play... I can confirm he won't play until the finals.
Really?
So...
I don't think
there was a major incident. This may have been some awareness last week. So, they're going to be very, very safe.
Yeah, but just Darcy Moore's next week.
Darcy Moore will
play next week.
Darcy Moore will play against Essendon. I think Jordan Dugowie just kept away, warehoused until the finals, which I think is a smart move, Scotty.
Yeah, yes and no. They need a bit of continuity in that side. Because then him and Stevenson coming in fresh.
Yeah,
a good point. Do you bring Stevenson in fresh?
Oh, you got to play him. Yeah, they're undermanned, and the forward line hasn't really worked without him.
Well, and according to our man Taylor, he's the fittest man in AFL, so he's going.
You have to, don't guns. You?
Oh, I think they are.
Who?
Stevenson coming straight in. I think they've always sort of flagged that.
Yeah, that'll happen. Well, that's changed their whole dynamic not having him there.
Yeah,
totally.
Totally screwed them.
Ben Reid as well. We'd sort of given up on Ben Reid. He's having a crack at it. So to get back.
He's probably doing it for his next club, isn't he?
No, he's having a serious go at it. I think he's a little bit ahead of what
he won't be playing at Collingwood next year.
No, but he's a chance to maybe.
But someone would
be available this year
to
squeeze back in, Scotty, in case of injuries.
Well, they've got injuries.
Yeah.
Well,
the other one's Tyson Goldsack, who must be thinking...
Message loud and clear to Tyson.
But all the soldiers have fallen over and he still can't get a game. So they've got Magidon in there now. So I think...
Paul, I mean, I feel for him. I mean, he clearly...
Well, you're part of your team there at the
He is. Columnist. I signed him up to a column.
Well, we like our VFL players.
Signed up Devin Smith as well. We haven't seen him.
There's a bit of a setback there. We couldn't have forecast that.
There's a little bit of a curse down there.
Yeah, I would suggest you don't want to ever write for the...
But what I'm surprised is, if your form's not good in the VFL, that's not always the real reason. As you know, it's good players sometimes don't get a kick in the VFL.
I know this for a fact.
So Tyson, it's like Buck's lost trust in what he could do, which is odd because last year he embraced him, you know, widely when he was the go-to man back from injury.
Different game, isn't it? Even Fogarty's not dominating at, say, at Adelaide in the Sandfall, hasn't done a lot. Comes in, looks a lot better. Delivery, and I know Goldie says this privately, it's all about running patterns and chains and where you go
It's much more predictable.
You do all your hard work and then someone in the chain mucks it up and the delivery's messy, then... It's a lot tougher down there to get a kick.
It's an interesting stance.
Yeah.
The no gold sack
at all. The no gold sack situation.
Why wouldn't you have a look at him over the last month?
That's a good point. Even just as a safety net.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. So it doesn't look like it's going to happen for your man Tyson, Herald Sun's own. Tyson Goldsack.
Look forward to the column on his tough year because it's definitely frustrating.
I think it would be a good column. I hate Bucks would be the next one.
I don't think so.
Well, he's not giving him a game.
He doesn't hate anyone, Goldie.
Well, he should.
Captain of the best.
Should be aggressive team. Like Taylor Harris. Feisty.
Taylor Harris.
Oh, we were talking about boxing.
She's fighting
before.
Tonight.
She
fights with...
You'll be up there for seven years. You'll be up there.
Yeah, she's amazing. That photo is the best thing that's ever happened to Taylor. A moment and a second in time from Michael Wilson. He has changed her life.
I think.
Is it true she told him that she was going to do it? Preempted it?
Really?
She has had conversations before.
It was during a game, though.
Don't tell me that, Scotty.
I think there was a bit of...
I don't know if that's the case or not.
Do you think it was a bit pre-planned?
No, well, not she had to get the ball the and mark it. No, something about I'm going to let one rip today or something.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, but...
Going to let one rip.
Oh, a big bomb.
Yes, I'm going to kick the ball long.
I'm not talking about the way of life.
Yes,
wonder of life.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying now.
I'm deflated by that, though, because it was a moment in impromptu. A setup.
It's a long way from being concrete evidence, what we're hearing from Scotland.
Think you go with my intel.
Your intel?
Contrived.
She didn't mark the ball and then give him a wink on the sidelines and go, hey, now's your moment. No, that's not nuts.
She knew where the photographer was?
No.
Not so sure about that, Scotty. I'm not so sure about that.
You know how we talk about car parks in footy? And it actually happened yesterday in Adelaide. Theo Doropoulos, who was gun cricketer.
Former Ryder medalist, mate.
Big bash.
Ryder medalist, mate. He's one of the greats.
Ryder medalist. Yeah.
My word, he is.
Really? He's one of these, mate.
He had the role yesterday of...
Oh, no. It's a good
chasing
story.
Down Eddie Betts, who, of course, it's interesting with Eddie, isn't it? What's he going to do? And here's a little grab from the news last night with Eddie being chased down in the car park.
No, that's up to, you know, the management. And, you know, so, as I said, I'm contracted here for next year.
So at this stage, we can expect to see you at West Lakes in 2020?
Yeah, bloody oath.
So do we take that to the bank half, do you think?
No, I don't think we take anything to the bank these days.
I think he said that it's in the hands of the manager. He was asked directly there about Gold Coast and whether he'd go there. I think that'd be the most likely, you'd think.
He's not coming back to Carlton. Can we put that to bed?
No. I don't think we can.
You honestly believe Carlton would draft a 31 2-year-old?
How old is Eddie? Is he 31 2?
He has to be.
Yeah, 31 2.
I love him, but he's showing signs of
decline. He looked good last week. Last quarter, he lit it up.
And if Carlton goes down that track, boy, oh boy, where are we? That's awesome.
I don't think that'd be part of Soss's mantra.
I don't think it's part of the build, the list build, at this stage, from my understanding.
They need a small forward, though. They're looking at Tipper and Waller down at... he's the same person.
I was thinking, hang on a second, aren't they the same guy?
Say that again. They're looking at Tipper and Waller.
Yeah, both
same
of them.
Person. I never know what to call him.
There are two of him, though. He plays well 1 week.
Well, that's right. When he kicks goals, he's Waller. When he's not playing, doesn't kick goals, he's Tipper.
They do need a small forward. So you just never know, half. Huh?
He wants a lot of cash, Waller Eddie. And Tipper.
Well, yeah. Weren't your mate the Doggies in
there? Yeah, they were sniffing. Yeah.
They were sniffing for sixes.
The question is, again, and I watched the game Saturday, Waller absolutely, he disappeared.
Oh, he's hopeless.
He disappeared.
When he's off.
He was absolutely non-existent, Waller. And that's what happened in the losses. He just vanishes off the stat sheet.
He's a remarkable stat that he just disappears when they lose. He just doesn't do anything.
Imagine coaching him going, Tipper or Waller, who's coming today? Which one?
Who's turning up?
I don't know.
And talking of Essendon as well, linked to that, Jake Stringer, no chance this week of playing. I don't think he's up at all.
It's a blow.
He said 50-50 yesterday, but I think they're just dragging things on. I think Adam White at home, probably on the sofa now, more chance of playing for Essendon this week.
Oh, wow.
The big question is whether...
he's nearly dead.
The big question is whether he can get up for the following week. They need to save him for that big game against Collingwood, round 23.
I'll tell you what, if they lose this week, they mightn't have to worry. It's just about to be all over. Well, obviously, it won't be because they've got to beat Collingwood to be a chance still. But if they're leaving it up to Friday night footy against the Pies, bringing back injured blokes with hamstrings to win the game for them.
What did you
make? Look, he might be right for that game, but unlucky again, Essendon. Like... How flat are they? Sanderland says, I might have my farewell game. It was a dead rubber till they did that. So Freo are going to be...
Oh, they'll
be up and about. They'll be up for the big boy.
What did you make of the steak dinner between the CEO and Worsfold on Monday?
Squire's Loft.
I like Squire's Loft. It's nice ribs place. Are outstanding. Yeah. Go the ribs, not the steak.
It's a cliched sort of a place to go.
No.
Not for a CEO and a coach.
But it's a chain. It's sort of Whitey type back. It's a franchise.
No, I don't.
It's not Hog's Breath.
It's high quality. No, I will defend. I'll defend Squire's Loft.
It's a safe venue.
No, I'm with you. 100% with you.
It's a safe venue, isn't it? The menu's safe. And,
it's meat. It's a speciality. They don't hide it.
But I think that's a concern. You think it's a concern for Woosha, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know. What would the conversation have been?
It would have been a concern if Xavier Campbell's ordering fresh meat.
But interesting location to go to Squire's Loft in Essendon to have a...
You've got to have a meal somewhere.
Get a private room somewhere in Chinatown or something.
Dim sum in a private booth.
Oh, wow. It's a central bow.
But people are going to see him. So, look, I think he's under the pump, Woosher.
I think he's in all sorts.
Do you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think they'll lose the last two games and he'll be gone by the Monday of the... afterwards.
Yeah, we all always thought that if they didn't make finals from where they were, Scotty, that he'd be in trouble.
Yep.
He may have already been gone had they not got out of jail.
He was mid-year.
GWS,
no,
they probably shouldn't
have. Well, when they went on that run.
Waller kicked a goal the last minute.
Yeah.
What has changed so significantly, particularly in the last couple of weeks? They've just been wiped off the path.
Injuries has been harsh to them, to be fair. But the effort in the last 2 weeks is just...
Well, what about the Gold Coast result? You look at that and think they nearly lost.
They should have lost that. Yeah, you're right.
They nearly lost to the Gold Coast, so that was...
They're a bit of a mess, and it just smells of a club, I think, needs someone different. The players look like they're playing like that.
Yes.
Need some passion, half.
Passion's an important thing. I want to get to a break earlier because we've got a lot of stuff we need to get into.
Big story at the Tigers looming too.
Is there?
Ooh. After the break?
After the break. This is Radio Craft 101 with Tease. Big story coming up for Richmond fans. Make sure you stay tuned. Steve-O's got all the latest news. He's the number one man from Channel 7. Of course, you can read his 4 points.
Oh, how'd we go?
I'm about to check during the break to see if there are, in fact, 4. Haven't read them just yet, but I'll see what they are during the break and come back with that big story from the Tigers as well and Gill's involvement. In player movement, we'll talk about.
You've joined the Breakfast Club.
There's an element of roll the dice with it. It's a hammy that he's had before. If he trains well during the week and feels good about it, we'll play him. But if not, we can still wait another week if we need to.
Neil Baum from the Tigers. Is that part of your breaking story? Mark Stevens joining us with all this news
live from Punt Road yesterday. This is part of it. Yeah. There's still a feeling down there that Cochin probably will play this week, but still they're not quite sure where that hammy's at, and they may give him another week because just had that history of issues there. So it's just getting to that critical stage now, where at some stage they've got to pull the trigger and, as Barmy said, roll the dice.
Well, they've got to get him back out there.
Yeah, no, he needed at least one game before the finals.
Yep.
But they don't seem to miss him too much.
No, they don't miss him, but
they need him.
At some point in the finals, he'll do an act that you'll go, thank God, Trent.
I think you prefer to have him.
Yes. Yeah.
The biggest story there, though, is Marlon Pickett. Now, things are really brewing there. There's a lot of love for him to actually break into
Two VFL games.
He obviously had a history. He's been in prison. He's got young children.
Yep.
27-year-old mid-season draft. Just imagine if he comes in and plays in a premiership. One of the best footy stories of all time. And he's close half.
Be amazing.
Very, very close. There's people at Punt Road pushing now for him to slot straight in.
You've got to find this a week. Spot for him.
You've just this got to week. Find a spot. They'd like to play him this week if they could, but they've obviously got maybe Cochin and Martin back in. But he's not far off.
It's an amazing story.
Barmy just
great to see him out there.
The twinkle in the eye whenever he talks about him. He said, an absolute ripper.
There's something about this boy, they reckon. Interesting time ahead for Marlon Pickett for the Tigers in the next couple of weeks. You talked about mid-season trade period. There's pre-season trade period coming up.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so next year there could be likely a pre-season trade period between the JLT and the start of the home and away season.
That's amazing. Sure I'm a fan of that half.
Well, it caters for injuries in the summer.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
So I'm not against.
Similar set up to the October one. First and second year players can't be traded, is our understanding of how it might look. But I think it'd be good for business.
The man in my seat that I'm occupying would be outraged.
Oh, outraged.
Because it's all about list management. But if you lose a guy because for 12 months in February, you should be able to replace
him. But I'm with Whitey. A good list manager has that factored in because it's taking away a lot of the list managers.
It's one-on-one
really.
Player,
you still have to pick a good player.
Yeah, but
Whitey's happy to substitute Marcus Stoinis for Mitch Marsh, though, for World Cup campaign. He was happy for that to happen. So he's having his cake and eating it too a bit in that one.
There's still list management and getting the right bloke in March. You still got to pick someone.
Yeah, but it gives you an out, doesn't it? I think you just have your list and you play with it, and that's...
Otherwise, it gives more blokes a chance
list managers, right?
Cold-hearted man you are.
What about the floating fixture, Melbourne-Sydney? That's a big one, live and free on 7 this week. That'll be
a train wreck for your network.
No, it's just an unlucky. It was... We couldn't have envisaged... Like, Melbourne were going to be good. We didn't know they were going to be deplorable. But,
no, I agree.
But I think what will happen is maybe round 22 and 23 next year at floater. So just add another round in.
I don't think we need it, to be honest with you. Because we don't need it.
But we could have had Brisbane Geelong Friday night this week and made this round even better than it is.
Yeah, I'm not against floating. You don't like floating fixture?
I just don't think we need it. Who cares? How are you supposed to predict the whole season?
No, but just 3 weeks ago, you could say Melbourne and Sydney's rubbish. We're going to flip that to Sunday afternoon and put this on.
A whole lot of people that make plans.
Oh, come on,
two rounds.
Throw out the entire community.
Only two rounds.
So the couple from Ararat who tell them at the start of the year, don't make plans.
Ararat.
And book the night at Crown.
Don't go into Harvey World Travel.
Well, I think Melbourne and Sydney is going to be a ripper. An absolute ripper.
No, I think it'll be
Jared McVeigh agrees with me. He's on the line, wants to talk to you all about it. Hello, Jared.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No, pleasure to have you on. Now, it's coming towards the end for you, not just the season, but for your time in red and white as a player, 324 games in. Are you conscious of that at the moment with the last couple of games?
You're walking around the club and, you know, you've only got a couple of weeks left. It's a weird feeling, but just trying to stick to things as usual and train hard. And then, I'm trying to get back to play the last game. So just kind of focusing all my energy on that.
What's the status on the likelihood of that?
I'm back running, so I've got to train next week and train pretty well to play. So it'll be touch and go, I think, at this stage. So fingers crossed I can get through.
I'm sure you'll get up. You think Horse will give you a few little favours? You'll only have to be 95%. I think you deserve a farewell.
Yeah, look, it's not so much about a farewell. I just want to, I love footy and just want to play again. And, I'd love to be out there this week and have played all year. But, the injuries have kind of caught up with me, which is fine. But, I'll just try and do whatever I can and make sure I'm ready to go for next week. And it'd be good if Bud get back for his 300 too. It'd be a great day.
And what's the role next year? Already locked away, Jared?
Yeah, look, I'm signed up for 4 years, which, really good security, and my family's really happy here with the kids at school. And, we're going to run through that, probably over the next month or two. But Yeah, look, I'm really excited with our young group and you know, see where we can take them.
I was going to say, I mean, Sydney's had a disappointing year in one sense, but the young kids that you've found and moving forward, it is a pretty exciting place.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we've got a lot of games into the kids, which is, you know, fantastic. And, you know, initially when you get to a footy club, all you want to do is just apply, you know, games of footy. You know, you're kind of focused on yourself. But once we've got those games with those kids and they start moving, you know, and changing their mindset a bit, I guess, into, you know, we're here now, where, you know, we're really involved, you know, that's really exciting for us.
You've had some incredible experiences with the Swans over the years. Have you had a bit of a chance to reflect on some of those times?
Yeah, I have. You know, generally, you know, the away games, you know, because we travel so much, just those away wins, I think, are the best. Finals and grand finals are always obviously the pinnacle of what we're about. You know, some of the things I'll miss the most is actually just driving to the game and seeing all the fans wearing the scarves and, you know, driving to the MCG and you can see the trams are full and, you know they're coming to watch you. And that's probably one of the things I'll miss the most.
Yeah, and you've, along with those amazing experiences, there's been tough times on the field as well. A couple of losses in those big grand finals. I'm always interested in what you take out of those things and how that helps to shape you, because wins do one thing for you, but when the times are challenging, it can sometimes, you know, be the biggest growth period.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the true test of your character and your leadership is in those hard times, and you know, to not play well in the 14 and 16 grand finals really hurt. Played well in 12 and in 2006, I just missed out again. But yeah, I think it's a true test of your leadership and the way you carry yourself around the group and how you respond. And, you know, we definitely learn a lot from that. Unfortunately, we don't get another chance this year to try and rectify it. But, yeah, look, those are, you know, not so much, you know, they're disappointing, but you can definitely learn a lot. And, you know, they do hurt and you lose a bit of sleep over it. But that's what footy's all about.
You've ridden the highs and lows on the field through an amazing career, it must be said. Jared, you've also had some challenges off the field that have been well publicised. Does that perspective and balance and understanding of what's important, does that make you a better teammate as well as a better human?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's obviously very challenging, the worst thing that, you know, we could have went through. But I definitely, I guess, it made me more resilient as a person, as a player. I mean, you know, when you're training and you have thoughts of, geez, can I go hard enough here at training? It really brought that into perspective for me, and I knew that nothing would be able to shake me, you know, resilience-wise, and that really, you know, helped me throughout my career, I think. And then just being, yeah, just around my family and stuff like that, I feel like, you know, I definitely did change.
And just moving forward to post-footy, have you got a vision of what first day of pre-season for the boys might look like? For you, I had visions of a deck chair and an esky and a couple of cans on the bend of the time trial track. have you thought that far ahead about what you might do to just watch the boys go through their paces?
No, we're looking at Stevie Johnson and the way his body looks. I don't think I can do that. I'm going to have to jump on the back of the group, I think, and still stay fit and get that competitiveness out somewhere.
How's Stevie going, just by the way?
He's big, he's good. No, he's you know, a great guy to be around and has brought so much to the footy club. And, you know, he's a great mind, obviously, with a great talent. And, yeah, look, he's been fantastic for our forwards.
Oh, it's been great to chat to you and watch you through the journey, Jared. We appreciate your time this morning. Good luck getting up for the last game, and hopefully you go out with a big win.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff. Jared McVeigh, the star from the Sydney Swans, joining us on The Breakfast Club. Be nice for him to get back and have that last game. Steve-O, yeah. Great work from you.
Great footy person. It's been a good week for big players. Even Jack Stevens was carrying a few kegs and admitted that and played so well.
Got to go to the news.
How good.